Hey guys, popping in with a reminder to sign up for the GovHub newsletter. This weekly pop of politics is designed to share action items, resources, and quick links to civic engagement tools and topics directly to your inbox. Save it, share it, and sign up for a pinch of productive politics today by going to girlonthegov.com or visiting this episode's description.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Welcome back to Girl on the Gov, the podcast,
where we're shooting the shit with elected officials and candidates running for office to get to know the person beyond the politics.
Because politicians needed a rebrand. Well, Samantha, I have made another hat purchase. And I kind of need a moment to address the fact that I have now two political hats coming to me in the mail. I have purchased two items of political merch, which I have been on the record on this show talking shit about people who buy political merch on many occasions, mostly Trump supporters, which is fair. But there's just something different about this moment, you know, and I'm kind of eating my own words. And I have White Dudes for Harris on its way. And I also have the camo Harris Waltz hat.
It's
on
so
its
good.
Way. It's so good. And it looks exactly like the camo hat I wear literally every single day with the orange font, camo. Now I get another version. It's like just so me coded, and I'm just so appreciative.
No, it literally is. That's not what I meant to click. It's so cute. What I was just about to try and look at, and then I accidentally hit TikTok, is if they have a shirt or a sweatshirt version of that. Because we know I do not look good in a hat, but like I love a camo moment.
It's like, so it's a like Dairy Boy vibe.
Yes. Oh my God. Wow. Okay, wait. Do you make sure you cut that face, because that was...
No, I mean, I just want to know who's staffing this campaign, because I think there's so many digital natives within this staff that you can just tell by so many different things. You can tell by the merch. You can tell by obviously the TikTok and the digital strategy of itself, but also the way in which in her speeches, there are intentional sound bites and pieces that are purposed for a TikTok moment, a TikTok sound to go viral. Say it to my face. Like all of those little moments, you can tell there's somebody digital behind in this speech writing room, in this message comms room, where they're like, add this in because we're going to clip it. And then everyone's going to clip it and everyone's going to use it and we're going to go viral. Like you can just feel that type of energy, which is so refreshing in this space, and just all the kudos.
It feels young, and not young in an inexperienced way. I mean, like young in a way where it's fresh, exactly what you're saying. And it's like also because this is coming from now, not just Kamala, but it's also coming from Tim Walz. It really feels like they are the young, youthful, fresh energy as humans. Yeah, like they're like cool. Like all these Kamala videos of her cooking that are resurfacing and like showing her personality that are so fun and so great. And like to your point of like what's even coming out now, like all these like intentional sound bites and like references and things. And even just when they launched the campaign and the brat format being a part of the whole campaign website. I mean, it's just, it's on it. These people are it's fucking on it. I'm so excited. I literally just watched the rally and I was like,
oh, it was so good. You guys, you did not watch the rally and the speech from both VP Harris and Tim Walz, please go watch it. And also go tell your friends to watch it, because I've had some friends be like, yeah, it's super exciting. Kamala's our like the new nominee. I'm glad Biden stepped down, yada, yada. But they're like, I just need to like do my research on what they've done. And it's like these speeches are amazing because they like lay out each other's resumes that is really impactful. And I think can show you like who they are, what they stand for, what they will do. So yeah, it was just incredible. And I just like have two things to say. First, back to the camo. I've been saying progressives are taking back camo. Haven't I?
Yeah. Oh, you know what? We should honestly, neither of us have the time, but someone, a volunteer in the audience can go back in time.
Yeah.
Probably 2 years. One of our episodes absolutely has
progressives are taking back camo. Your girl. My Instagram is exhibit A. That camo hat that I wear every day is in like almost every single post of the last 6 months to 12 months of my life.
Blankie. Like, I swear, no, it's
literally
like...
it's my blankie. It is. And this new one's going to be my new blankie, but I'll never obviously replace Miss Hog Island Oyster camo hat. She'll always be the OG. But second thing I have to say is another thing that I have said a lot on this show is that Donald Trump is just like truly like the easiest opponent we could have asked for. And I know that's like a hot take in a lot of people's eyes. And let me emphasize and underline and asterisk this point that I'm about to make. Like, we still have a lot of work to do. We still have a lot of doors to knock, a lot of votes to earn. We have by no means won this election yet. But by just this vibe shift that we're feeling, like you said, like having these two candidates on this ticket who are that like fresh vibe, that cool vibe, that kind of more like hopeful, inspiring vibe, makes him and J.D. Vance look so fucking idiotic and disgusting and vile and like just trash, which they are and they always have been. And I just like, that's what I meant is like Biden and like some of the things that people criticize Biden for or the old tropes and all that. That is what I was talking about of like, if we had two, we have so many great people in this party. If we put two people who are great up against Trump, it will be clear as day for most people of like, who's for them, who's against them, who's heinous, who's cool. And it's just like, that's what I mean. This is the vibes I'm talking
about.
It's
the energy. Like, the energy is so energy. Different. You literally just can see like the like cool versus not cool, weird versus cool, like whatever you want to call it. It's just so different. You're like positive versus negative. It's like two ends of the battery, like literally like girlies and STEM. You got me. That's my one bit of science for the moment. But like it really is that. And I think to another point to attach to your like we're taking back camo situation is they're also taking back the American fucking flag, okay? And red, white, and blue. And I have seen so many other... Yes, and in those
shout
speeches,
out to our USA Olympians also, just boosting those patriotic vibes for everyone.
Oh, 1,000%. Loving those gold medals and all the medals and all the participation because God bless the USA, okay? And our troops, thank you. However, aka not even however, just an attachment to that is in those speeches tonight. Wow, I literally say like I'm at the Olympics and I'm talking about a sport that just happened and I'm doing
literally play action. Yeah, this is our sports presser.
It literally is. Oh my God, I'm obsessed. Wait, that should be another career for us. Side note. Is that literally both of them use the word patriot when describing one another. Kamala used it to describe Walz, and Walz used it to describe her. And it was interesting because that word always gets misused and misrepresented in the Trump camp, them attaching this fucked up version of what that actually means, making it a dirty word. You know what I mean? And I think that's a game that across politics we've seen the last few years where we redefine a word that either was good or bad and we just throw it around. And then no matter what, everything about it's bad. And we're taking that word back and we're taking back what that actually should mean. I think we should be so proud of what's happened the last 2 weeks and how we have all sort of like unified and come together and be like, no, we're fucking done with this shit.
Yeah.
Let's get the show on the road. And we are. And all I can really say is from the windows to the walls. And I have been saying that all day. I can't stop. And I really woke up this morning.
Yeah. Let's talk about him for a second. Again, watch the speech because like you'll just get to see not only his resume as a legislator, but like his resume as a human and the different life experiences that he's had from being in the military to being a coach, to being a teacher, to being a dad, to being like this, to being a hunter. Hello, there's Second Amendment. Hello, Second Amendment, but gun reform. Yes. Thank you. Yeah, no, I just, what a guy. You know, what a guy, what a pick. And I'm just so excited to see what he does, how people will continue to react to him on this ticket. I think he's such a beautiful addition.
No, literally. And I think just to like throw a few things out there on the resume, one of the things I think is so cool that he did when he was a football coach and teacher was that he started the Gay Straight Alliance in school. Was that late 90s, early 2000s? Like he said, what a fucking opportunity. And every student that has come out talking about him, I mean, glowing reviews, the coolest of fucking stories. He's also a military vet. Like when he was in Congress representing a district that he won, aka beat a Republican incumbent with the first Republican Democrat. To be beat since like 18 something, like crazy. Yeah. He was the highest ranking military officer, like in Congress at the time. Like just really brings such an interesting background, and he just feels really authentic and like exactly like who he is, if that makes any sense. And I
made the couch joke, which I was waiting for. I was seriously like earlier in the speech, I was like, oh, are they gonna say it? And then like he ended up saying it. I was like, fuck yeah, thank God. Also, the little just ode to reproductive freedom too, when he was like in Minnesota, one of the pillars is like mind your own goddamn business or whatever. Obsessed. Like that is so the message. That is literally the message.
Leave that on a shirt.
Mind your own business, especially for the fucking party who doesn't want government in their business. Like, hello. Yeah, no, I couldn't be more obsessed. His smile. I mean, his smile wins my vote alone. No. I can't.
Literally. And also, you know what? The thing is, so in my head, the last week, I was going back and forth and all the combos happening, whatever. And it really came to me as Walls versus Shapiro. And I love them both, right? Like, I was like, doing pro-con lists, having all those chit-chats, whatever, seeing, like, you know, what could really happen there. But the thing that made me think, no, like, this was, like, sealed, signed, delivered, was when he made that comment calling Trump and Vance weirdos and changed, like, the whole paradigm of the conversation. The second that went viral, I went, it's over. Like, it's Walls. Like, it's there's perfect. No way. It's and they're, again, like they were singing the phrase. I can't imagine like being also like Shapiro having to get on that stage, like putting the ego aside and all that. So like kudos to him. And he's an amazing governor and can't wait to see like what he continues to do in PA. And I'm sure that is not the last of Governor Shapiro.
No, but, he's going to be on the national stage one day.
Yeah. But
no. Holy shit.
Holy shit.
It's like what is like literally 2-3 weeks ago. Like, we were just literally crying. I was crying in the corner. Like, I just didn't know what to do. And it's just the vibe shift, like, is so crazy. And it's not just, like, felt by, I feel like, if you're in the political space, you feel it. It's, like, it's felt, it's seen, it's radiating just through all of everyone. And it's just really exciting to see. And, yeah, I mean, the weirdo thing is just, like, so brilliant. It's exactly, again, back to my, like, this is the easiest guy to beat potentially ever. He's such a fucking freak. And I just love it.
Well, because also
He's, like, also at the same time is able to, like, he has so much potential to reach their base in the ways that Trump's base needs to be reached and, like, represented by their representatives. Like, Trump doesn't do that for them. And I hope that they can continue to see that, like, people like Tim Walz and Kamala Harris are, like, the people that are truly fighting for them. And for working people. And I think that, you know, Walz is such a great person to communicate that message to Trump's base. Be like, no, like, you have a home with us. Like, you're not weird. He's weird. He's doing weird things. You shouldn't support this guy, you know? And that's kind of what I love.
And he makes it so simple. Like, it's literally, instead of trying to go into, like, the policy details, which he obviously can do and does do as well in terms of like what's messed up about Project 2025 and they're like all those things, he just literally can simply put it in the lovely little bucket of they're weirdos. And you're like, yeah, that's what we've all been trying to communicate, but like couldn't somehow get there in this like weird thing the last few years.
No, he's done that for so many different things. In this speech, I feel like he's just like, you're like, it's such a perfect way to put it. It's like, it's just simple. It's just simple when he communicates it. Which is so helpful. And just like even back to the like repro mind your own business thing, like that, like those things, it's like that's kind of what we've been trying to say forever, but I don't know why we haven't been able to communicate it so clearly and concisely. But like, mind your own damn business. Thank you.
No, literally that. But also I think like to that, so many people, at least maybe not this time around, but what I remember of last time around with like Trump is so many people saying like, oh, but like he got like he like talks like us. He's a normal guy, which is just bananas to me. I can't wrap my head around that. But
no, like, yeah. Like who the fuck do you know that talks like him?
Right. Yeah.
You would hate this guy in real life. I can't.
But let's just go with like that is like the flat argument of them thinking that this guy talks more their language than other people in politics. And I feel like ironically, it's like, and you know, I say ironic for all this, my transitions, even if that's not actually irony, but Walls is actually speaking normal people language. Like he is clear. It's simple.
Yep.
It's out there. It's American. It's American. Like it really like, it's just not complicated.
Yeah.
And it's not elitist sounding, which I think oftentimes the Dems sound like, and sometimes they can just be that way, just like the Republicans. Yep. It's a both sides of the aisle issue. But I actually think he sounds like the normal guy that you shoot the shit with, that gets shit done, works hard, has a good family, does shit for his community. Like that's what like we should be electing anyways in terms of that type of person. But like he's actually communicating that very well. So mazel to him and like all the fingers crossed. That's so true. I am very excited. Again, I really have been singing Window to the Walls all day. And I will say this, I think I said this on our last episode or maybe the one before that. Every single time I turn my phone over for 5 seconds, the announcement of something drops. I come back, I grab my phone, turn it over, announcement broke.
Yeah, love it. I mean, I wake up to it. So at least you have had coffee by then. I woke up to it. But no, I mean, Tim Walz is truly going to cure America's daddy issues one voter at a time. Because, good Lord, that man is a father in the best
way. You know what? You know what he should do? He should go and call her daddy.
Call her daddy. The father.
Father to father.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry.
It's right like, there. It's right there waiting for you. Like, take it.
Don't get me wrong. He is welcome on our show, and so is Kamala anytime. Hint, hint, nod, nod, wink, wink.
Of course.
Guys, like, sign to the DMs. Let's chit-chat. But just saying, that would be excellent marketing merch. And also just the right audience, too, to get more of the you know, the girlies, the besties involved in all the things. I do want to move to a different topic.
Wait, can I just say one thing before we do? This is the closing note that I think, honestly, until election day, I'm going to make sure is said. Thank you, Joe Biden. Like, just never forget. Like, never forget who got us here. It was the man who put his ego aside. And God bless him.
God bless him. I know, like, obviously Doug is a little in the doghouse currently in my eyes. But for all the men out there that really can't seem to put their ego aside in life and, like, can't, it's the fucking president of the United States whose literal dream has been his whole life to be president of the United States, can step aside for the good of his country. Like, you can, like, admit you were wrong.
Yeah.
So just putting that out there, a little hint for the people, for our 3% of male listeners, which I'm sure are all A-plus humans, because that's the type of audience we attract. So I will stand on business on that. On another note, and one that obviously affects us deeply as fans of Bears, as two people whose family mascots are Bears for different reasons. The RFK Jr. Bear story, that really...
Listen, I didn't spend a second of my day, of my time, of my energy to actually read the story. I got the gist, and it's heinous. And I'm just like, there's no part of me that's going to go in and read about this. Just... Mm-mm. Tragedy, as like you said, a bear lover, as it being truly my namesake, Medved means bear. Yeah. What?
Insane. I was personally continually attacked. Not attacked, like visually, like I felt like attacked on social media because I couldn't get away from the story. I couldn't get away from that damn bear picture. Okay. Like I would be like, okay, we're going off threads. We're going on TikTok because I cannot see this. Like one more time. It would be everywhere. It was like I was really attracting the story. And I don't know
who is RFK anymore, you know, like just
like, ew.
Out.
Literally. See ya. Oh. I did see actually a really funny thread, aka Instagram's version of Twitter tweet-esque thing today. And it was somebody saying, I'll have to find it. Maybe I'll put it in Yapper's Digest if I can re-find it again. This woman was saying that RFK Jr. is to Republicans what Marianne Williamson is to Democrats. And I was like, that's kind of interesting. I don't know if it's exact, but I'm like,
the thing is like, it's interesting because if you actually look into a lot of RFK stuff, he takes a lot of progressive angles on a lot of issues. And it's like, and I don't know. It's just like, it's really it's funny so because weird. Conservatives like draw towards him, but like he brings like a real like populist, like kind of progressive, right, corporate greed type angle. And yeah, it's just, it's fascinating to me, but
it's beyond the brain, as they say. It really, yeah. So anyways, that was a boggle of the brain of this past weekend into this. But then we went back into some good news. But that one, honestly, because I was writing GovHub when that was like going live, and literally the entire news cycle was this fucking story. And I was like, I know there's other things happening.
Can you give a two-sentence recap? So just in case people don't know.
Okay, so basically there was a story that the New Yorker was going to break this whole expose on RFK Jr.
That was two sentences.
You know, that's not happening.
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I'm gonna give you 30 seconds. How about that? Ready?
No.
Set the timer. Let's just see if you can do it. You talk fast.
Hold on. I'm out of breath. Give me a second. You know. Okay.
Okay. Stopwatch starting. No.
God damn it. Okay, so basically there was going to be this New Yorker expose and it was going to expose the fact that RFK Jr. had gone up to the Hudson Valley and found this dead little bear cub, and he didn't have time to skin it alive. So he was going to do something with it. Didn't know what to do with it. So he was like, oh my God, I'm going to do a prank in Central Park, and left it there with a bike, because there was this whole saga going on with like literally like bikers, like, you know, bike safety. So he knew it would blow up in the news, and they kept seeing it and thought he was going to get caught. But anyways, this is really stressful. Holy shit. This is distracting me.
No, honestly, you did it. And I don't know what that panic was at the end, but like that was the gist. So there you go, folks.
We've got the Roseanne Barr part. Then he also, so he got ahead of this by trying to make a video in this whole thing by doing this weird cameo style type video behind the scenes thing with Roseanne Barr, who's a whack job, like Trumpian. The end.
The end. Period. Beautiful, but heinous. Yeah, no, don't like that. Don't like that one. And hopefully that's his last time. That he'll have a story written about him.
No, too, truly.
In the context of this election.
It's really one of those things, this will be the last thing I'll say. It's like, just when you like think it can't get any weirder.
Yeah.
Like, it's so, like, I literally, you couldn't make this shit up if you tried. You know what I mean? Like, it's.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. But nonetheless.
Let's introduce our guest.
Let's do that. Okay. So today's guest is, drumroll please, Christina Haswood from Kansas. She's a state rep and she is running for state senate there. So obviously we had to talk to her all about Kansas state politics, what it's like running there. Is it as red as it is, or as red as people think it is? All of those things. So without further ado, here is Rep Haswood.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
All right, guys, we are here with Kansas State Rep, Christina Haswood. We are so excited because not only are we chatting with a state house member, but we are chatting with a candidate for state senate. Wild. So to jump right into everything, question is, of course, like getting into politics, figuring out you wanted to run for, you know, state house in the first place, and then now state senate, like what inspired both of those things, like first state house and now like why the, you know, move to be like state senate, it's the moment we're having it?
There's two different answers. There's like the nerdy answer, and then there's like what really went down. So I had several folks come up to me, and it's kind of a natural transition right from the House to the Senate, to different chambers. And it's something that's always been on my mind, but the seat is held by an incumbent, and policy-wise, we're very much similar. And so I was just chilling and was really enjoying my time in the House. And I feel like I found my good footing in the House. But I had some folks reach out to me last summer, and they were like, "Hi, girly, like, we think you'd be awesome for the state Senate. We don't know yet if the incumbent is filing for reelection, but we think that you should just go ahead and like do it." They're like, "We think that, you know, your lived experiences of being someone who's younger," I'm currently 30, so it's on the younger side of politics. Yeah, it's been a journey for being 30
and thriving.
Honestly, I made my boyfriend watch that. Before I turned 30, I was like, we both got to prepare for this. Yeah. And then I live in an apartment currently, and I have student loan debt and a load of other millennial issues and problems. So that is not currently represented in our state Senate. And it takes a long time for me to realize that I don't need like a law degree or like 50 years of experience. So folks were telling me like, yeah, like, you just live in the everyday struggle is exactly the voice and type of representation we need in our state Senate. I'm also our current only Native American Indigenous legislator in Kansas, and we haven't had a Native American person in our Kansas State Senate yet. So it'd be an awesome opportunity to break a glass ceiling as well. Our youngest state senator is, I think, 30, and then our youngest Democratic state senator is about, I think, maybe like 10 years older, in his early 40s. So there is a need for more representation of a younger voice. And the nerdy answer is, is that I think the state Senate has more opportunities to be involved in our state businesses. There's 40 of them and 125 of us in the House. So they get more opportunities to be appointed to different committees, interim committees, task forces. And they get to, you know, select some of our top staff members at the state level as well. So I feel like just being that much involved, and I've only been in the House for the 4 years, but for the 4 years I've seen it, I feel like I'm always playing catch up. Once January starts around, Kansas legislative session is about January to May. So every time it comes back up in January, I feel like I'm playing catch up, where maybe my senator colleagues might have more opportunities to be on this issue and this issue. And that actually been this year, I was trying to work on a homelessness, houselessness bill, and there was an interim committee. I wasn't appointed to that. Try to work with my local governments, my local advocates, and we just ran out of time. So I was like, things like this and issues like this that are very important to my community, I'm constantly playing catch up in January. So I just wish I had more opportunities and time. And the thing about, you know, being on an interim committee or a task force is that you get paid to be there. So it's definitely, I think every state's different the way that they compensate their legislators. So it would be awesome to not only, you know, have that, but to also be fairly compensated for that time while I'm working like other jobs as well. So
for sure.
Yeah.
That's crazy too. Like to just think about such like truly existential issues that you're working on that you could just like make a lot of progress and then, oh, sorry, out of time, like that you just can't get it done. So, and not a nerdy answer, a great answer that's like very important to highlight of like, you know, like truly just on an efficiency level, like I can't do the things that I want to do for my community and for basic, these like basic reasons, which are mostly come down to logistics, which is like, I don't know. That's crazy. I want to hear more about Kansas and like where Kansas is at politically. I'm sure people have their preconceived notions, but I'm curious from your standpoint, like what you're seeing in terms of the political climate right now, statewide, but also in your district.
Absolutely. So Kansas is a little confusing at the moment. she's purple, it seems like, but still pretty red. There's more purple areas popping up. And I currently live in Lawrence, which is home to many college campuses as well. Haskell Nations University and the University of Kansas is here. And then we have nearby Baker University. And then Kansas City is about a 30 to 45 minute drive from here. So it's not too far away. So these areas where there's colleges are more Democrat leaning. But once you go past like Manhattan, where the University of Kansas State is, it gets a little iffy. So the rural areas are still very Republican heavy, conservative heavy, but we're seeing a lot of progress in Kansas City, Johnson County area, where they flip seats from Republican to Democrat. So now the task is to keep those seats blue. And we really saw this shift. I feel like the nation saw the shift when we had the abortion amendment in 2022. And conservatives in the legislature put it on our primary ballot. And we could not have stopped that initiative without Republicans, without unaffiliated voters, without independent voters. It took, you know, more than just Democrats to show up. And that has, I feel like, just been a national trend that the conservatives are now backpedaling on. We've seen in the presidential candidates on the Republican side, they kind of backpedaled a little bit when they were on still in their primaries. And things like, you know, a national abortion ban or threats to IVF are not really hitting with the girlies these days for them. Oh, sure. To see it. And I mean, it's just like, how many times is it going to take for you all to like freaking hear everybody that we don't want that type of policy? It's really annoying. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah.
Hearing that from in Kansas, like, will still be one of my favorite political moments over the years, I feel like. And it's just so true. It's like, especially coming out of Kansas, to hear, you know, an overwhelming amount of support from people to be like, no, we don't want this. Stop. Like, please. Is super impactful. And I think remains so, like, something that I still point to today. You know, it was such a big moment. Yeah.
Well, also too, just like both of you guys are putting out, just the fact where it's like, we keep saying it and then they're just like not listening. They keep trying, which obviously is annoying from like, we have to like keep figuring out every, which we should be doing, and like being proactive and trying to figure out every way in which to protect our rights and like, you know, squash this shit down. But also it's like one of these things where it's like, guys, like you guys are embarrassing yourselves at this point. Like you're telling on yourselves. You keep like showing.
No one wants that.
But they keep showing that like they can't even listen to their own constituents, in my opinion. But anyways, moving right along.
Yeah, they don't care. They don't care about anyone.
Yeah, it was really a proud moment for Kansas because I remember after that happened, I would go to like conferences and stuff, and people would be like, "Kansas, oh Kansas, oh yeah,
yeah."
So it was definitely a proud moment, and shout out to everyone who has done organizing here. That was definitely not an overnight thing. That took years in the making. It took a statewide initiative, and the messaging really was that our freedom, our reproductive freedoms, were under attack, and I think that was something that really struck a chord in everybody.
For sure. Well, can you also explain more too, like, did you say you were the first Native American Indigenous representative in the House, or you're going to be in the Senate?
I would be in the Senate, probably like the third or fourth in the House.
Yeah. And can you obviously explain like why that's so important to have that representation and like that perspective to bring into a room of policymakers? Like, what does that look like for you in representing your community?
Yeah. So definitely back to my nerdy response is why I did this. But to build off of that as well, I've seen in the House side, luckily, when I first got into office in 2021, I got sworn in. There was two other Native women, Representative Ponkawe Victor-Cozad, who's now retired, and then former state legislator Stephanie Byers. So there was like the three of us and we were like squad up, World Court Press. But we didn't have anyone on the Senate side. And what we run into a lot is just like basic education, like how many tribes are in Kansas? And it's like crickets. Like, oh, interesting. So the senators also need, I feel like, at least somebody there. The tribes just don't have the resources to have like a full powerhouse of lobbying firms. So, you know, in my 4 years, I've seen like legislation that was questionable come to the House. And I'm just like, why did they not like stop it in the Senate side? And there's this really funny story that there was this one bill and, you know, it passed in the Senate side or in the House side. And it was almost to the governor's desk. And we were actually there for a bill signing. And we had the tribal leaders there as well. And we're like, okay, we're going to take this photo with the governor. And then my mentor was like, Christina, you're going to stand that on this side of the governor. I'm going to stand on this side of the governor. When she's about to leave, we're going to close her in and ask her about this bill and see, and then have the tribal leader step in and educate her quickly about why we needed her attention on this bill. So that was really funny. That was like my first year. I was like, oh my goodness, am I going to get tackled by the security?
I love that.
But like, sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do. And then just, yeah, I'm like, you know, I see things come across. I'm like, why did no one point this out in the Senate? So yeah.
Yeah. What are the main issues that you think like Native communities and tribes in Kansas, but maybe even nationwide, like really need prioritized?
Yeah, very good question. So I've been working on missing or indigenous peoples, and that has also crossed over to like Black and African American women. I've introduced a bill this year to try and get at least a task force. Me and my former mentor, Ponkawe Victor-Cozad, passed a missing or indigenous bill the first year I was in office in 2021. And that was to recommend state law enforcement training. Now, I love that because that was like the first step that we did, but yet it didn't have any teeth to it. And then administrations changed. So we have a new attorney general this time. And I felt like the ball was just dropped. The communication, there was no communication plan. And I learned a lot because I was like, oh, you know, like once you pass a bill, you're like, cool. And then you like post it on social media. And then everyone's like,
wait like, a second. Where?
Yeah. They're like, oh, it's
when
here.
When does it happen?
I was like, oh, it needs like a whole launch. Like it needs a website and all this.
Hard launch.
Yes, a hard launch. So yeah, that as well. Unfortunately, in my community, we did have an Indigenous student who did go missing and then was later found. The body, Cole Brings Plenty. And, you know, just seeing that happen, you know, working on an issue and think you're making progress. And then this happens in your home community. Just the injustices keep happening. So that's just another motivator of why we need to continue working on everything that revolves around human trafficking, partner violence. And why does this disproportionately happen to people of color as well? Another thing too I'm working on is the Indian Child Welfare Act. So at the SCOTUS level, there was a Supreme Court case, Holland v. Prague, and that was about, 2023. That almost got struck down by SCOTUS, and that put the whole Indian country into a panic. And a lot of states already have their ICWA bills in their state statute, but Kansas doesn't. So I introduced that. And then finally got a hearing this year. It's currently going to Judicial Council. I'm learning along the way. So I have that meeting tomorrow morning, and hopefully they come out with a recommendation. So but then it was like a realization where I was like, oh my God, Christina, like you might not be here in January to like pick up this work. So I'm like trying to have so many people come into the meetings and be aware of what's going on. And then just other things that I haven't, you know, had legislation, but would love to focus more on was definitely like entrepreneurship and business. So I had some folks, especially on the Senate campaign trail, ask me like, what am I doing with empowering BIPOC businesses? And also environment as well. Rejuvenal agriculture, I believe that's the term. I'm just focusing on there.
So cool. And like, it really is. I feel like politics in general is like you're learning as you go. Like even policy, like something passes, goes into impact, like goes into effect. Like you have to see whether it's going to work or not. It's like the goal is really actually met with that policy, or if it's like, oh, we need to tweak it. We need to like add like another amendment to something, you know, like, so I think it is always like in flux, which is what makes sometimes it like so exciting, because it really is trying to like throw solutions like to something and see what happens. And so I'm curious too, from like, since you've been in office, you know, what is something that, you know, you helped pass that, you know, you're so proud to see, and also just saw like, wow, this solution actually is doing shit.
So definitely what comes to my mind was that Missing More Indigenous Peoples bill. And it actually got some media attention in the Kansas City area. And there was these reporters who actually was following this bill. And they actually contacted every sheriff's office in the state. I think they did this last summer, because then this year I introduced a bill that would require state law enforcement to report back to the state of the attorney general, and that be reported back to the legislature and one of my committees, which was federal and state affairs. Like, you don't think about this when you're making it, like, you're like, oh, like, I gotta tell people, like, walk this way and then submit a report on this day. And like, we want it in there forever or only for 5 years. So, you know, looking at that and seeing these journalists do their due diligence and amazing work to see, and they put it all in the spreadsheet. They're like, okay, this police department and the sheriff's office have taken the training, or like, these are aware about it and they decided not to, or these folks don't know about it at all. And that was definitely more of the, I don't know about this training, was more of the bigger category there. And then seeing like my local law enforcement haven't taken the training, and then me talking to them and they were aware of the training. So it was just really interesting to see how that played out. And I think the next step would definitely be like, is this helping or whatnot? So I think reporting back to the legislature and keeping data and keeping track of that progress of that bill would be very helpful to know, like, what would our next steps be? We don't, unfortunately, have like a Native American committee or an Indigenous committee. There's not like a statewide entity that can like alleviate the work from volunteers. So hopefully one day we'll get there. We do have a Native American Affairs staffer in the governor's office, but it's just one person. So we're trying to expand it as well, looking at other issues beyond just that one issue.
Yeah. Cool. And as you are going out to campaign now, which is always such a crazy journey, I'm sure, and exhausting, I like to ask people, like, how do you like to connect with voters, like beyond the policy? If there's things that, like, whether it's connecting on something local that you love, or a hobby or a show, like, what are those things for you that, like, you know, just show kind of your humanity when you go out and talk to voters?
That's a really great question. I think, you know, I do really well on my social media, and I'm very active on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and starting to throw things onto YouTube there. And it's funny enough too, because I had one of my interns do an analysis on what posts are doing well and what can we do better. And she found out like the selfies where I'm at, like getting lunch or dinner at a local establishment, do really well. And so I think that really connects to voters, because I'm born and raised here in my community that I'm running in. So I think just tapping into that towny vibe, like, oh, like our favorite pizza spot is not Domino's. It's like, you know, this local pizza shuttle brand, and like sharing a little, you know, like something that only townies would know. And then we had a couple questionnaires as well. And I love Gen Z so much. And one of my responses, it was like, the question was like, what's one question we didn't ask you, but you would love to ask your opponent? Please answer that. And I was like, Drake or Kendrick Lamar?
Or Kendrick. There's one question to ask in 2024, and it's Drake or Kendrick.
I was like, that can tell a lot about a person.
There's only one answer, so...
Kendrick.
Yeah, it's like saying, it's honestly at this point, it's as contentious of a question as Trump or Kamala? Like, there's one answer. Well, but we'll see what you say.
Yeah. So I try to sprinkle like my personality here and there. And I just like to have fun with it. At the end of the day, like, you want to run a campaign that you're proud of and that you put all you can into it. I played sports, so it's like leave it all on the court type of mentality.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Wait, what sports did you play?
I'm 5'7", so I was pretty tall. I did volleyball, basketball, a little bit of softball. That's about it.
Oh my God, the best. Because we have a soccer player here. So I was wondering if you were going to say soccer, because two of y'all.
Yeah, this is a sports podcast, actually. Yeah.
This is actually like ESPNW. Thank you. Rebranded. We're here for it. No, but that is so fun. I feel like sports teach people so much about politics, and like there's mm-hmm. just so many like analogies that can go back and forth. So I think it's so important to be able to like show and teach. And one of the things I love on your TikTok is you show the behind the scenes of campaigning and like door knocking and things of that nature. And I'm just like so curious as to like what the reaction's been for you, like seeing like how people have like seen those videos. Like, what are some of those takeaways?
That's a good question, because I feel like my views are low. The algorithm doesn't like me now. So I'm like, oh yeah, feedback. I think folks really appreciate it. And I think a result I'm taking of this is that I get to speak to a lot of like high school students. Most recently, I spoke to Junction City High School, which is about 2 hours west from me. I think it's a rural area. And I got to speak to a high school class, and they wanted me to talk about marijuana cannabis policy.
Of course.
Slay. We love to hear it. I was like, they weren't teaching this when I was in high school.
No. It was the opposite.
Dare. AKA Dare.
Yeah. So one of my first like big bills that I did with some of my colleagues is Kansas's first recreational cannabis bill. And I mean, of course it's not gonna go anywhere, but some of the younger legislators were like, here, Christina, like now you gotta learn how to like do a bill and the process of it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this I feel like is not documented. I remember like going to college and looking like dorm tours and like, you know, what's in my backpack? And like I prepare that way, and there's no like, okay, you just won your state election office, like what do you bring in your purse?
Yeah.
No, literally, we've talked about that before too, a little bit of just like, where's the prep? Like, there's no one that's gonna like sort of give you like the tutorial or the tour, like here are the bathrooms, like actually no one uses this one because XYZ, you know, like all of that stuff. And like, I'm curious too, like, what was like the biggest surprise or learning curve or thing that like took you by, surprise when you were first elected?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would say maybe the biggest surprise is just, I mean, you put in to this job what you want to receive, basically, type of thing. So there's folks there who just like show up and get a paycheck. There's folks there who don't show up
and still get a paycheck.
But they come from communities that are like, you know, not watching their every move, and you know that's their community. But my community, I feel like we're kind of like, you know, not in the middle, because Johnson County folks, Kansas City folks, they're definitely like more mainstream politics, and here in Lawrence, yeah, we're a little bit more chill. And you know, I felt like I had to say yes to everything, every invitation, my first like year or two, every ribbon cutting, and I burnt myself to the ground just like trying to be everywhere. But I'm thankful in a weird way that I did that, because now I've established a reputation that I'm in the community. Like, I will be mm-hmm. there talking to elementary school students while I will go 5 hours west of Kansas to talk to some high school students. And then the next week I'll be in DC at the White House talking about, you know, Vice President Harris's gun prevention violence stuff. So it's like, you know, I'm everywhere. And mm-hmm. I've just loved so much how this job, you know, like just doing, I'm being a leader that I wish I would have had when I was younger. And I'm having fun with it. And that TikTok allows me that creative freedom that I feel like politics doesn't mm-hmm. care or reward, especially when I work with a little bit more of a seasoned folks in life.
that was like, so eloquently put.
I say that because Kansas has passed like a TikTok ban. So everyone was turning their necks when that was on the floor for me. So
yeah. Well, I love that. I love what you just said about just doing the job and being the leader you wish you had and having fun with it. I think that's like really cool to see and hear. And just thank you. Thank you for coming on. This has been really amazing to chat with you and hear all about not only your time in the Kansas State House, but your journey to the Senate. So is there things you can plug, your social media, your TikTok, your website, so people can find you?
Absolutely. So you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Handles Haswood, HASWOODFORKS. And then my website is it's haswoodforkansas.com, all spelled out. I'm very accessible. So if you have any questions, feel free to DM me or comment. But email is definitely more appreciative during these very fast-paced times as the primary is August 6th.
Woo!
Woo! Hey guys, popping in with a reminder to sign up for the GovHub newsletter. This weekly pop of politics is designed to share action items, resources, and quick links to civic engagement tools and topics directly to your inbox. Save it, share it, and sign up for a pinch of productive politics today by going to girlonthegov.com or visiting this episode's description.